NBL 24, it's officially in the books, and it was one for the history books. The league has a new champion. The island has officially been defended, but was it the best grand final series ever? Was Jack McVay's game winner the greatest shot in NBL history? Reflecting on it all, there's a lot to discuss. So two men have got NBL championships in Damon Lowry and Pete Hulia here to break it all down on NBL Now. It is Wednesday, the 3rd of April. Pete Hulley's got the championship ring out on display. Damon Lowry is here as well. Joel Peterson is my name, and we are rounding out an NBL 24 series after an extraordinary grand final series. Tassie get it done in 5 games. It goes down to the final play. There was never going to be any other way in this wild season. Pete, what was your gut reaction to that game 5?
Astonishing, just unbelievable. We'll get into it more and more, but the more you looked at every single moment that led to this and everything that's transpired, really not just in this season or this series, but the whole 3 years since Tasmania, it feels like it's all just been building up for this. And it's truly remarkable to look at what they've built. They've managed to get a trophy, a championship trophy in 3 years. And again, the way they did it, and we look through the entire regular season, they didn't play the house down all season long. It wasn't like they were the front runners. They had some struggles middle of the season. They couldn't close out games. They kept losing close games. Scott Roth, we had a couple of times where he was speaking in wild extremes. They'd never come back. They finished 10th when it was round 12, and then here they are as champions. So it's the beauty of the NBL that you just have to turn it around a couple of times and make a run at it. But geez, let's just give all the credit to Tasmania because they've bloody done it.
Absolutely. Damon, where were you watching it? Because you've been overseas on national team duty of recent times. So how did you take it in?
Yeah, I was sitting courtside in Singapore battling the humidity. And everybody got the semifinal game coming up for the Kangaroos. We're trying to make our country proud. But all we were just doing, we're glued to our phones. And we were just watching the game and getting updates. And the men's team was going to go out there and play, and Dave O'Hickey's got it on his phone. Toddy Blanchfield's got it on his phone. Everybody's just going absolutely nuts. We went nuts for the whole time because we was in Singapore for game 4. We was there for game 3. It was just that series, man. And we'll talk more about it, but basketball is just better when it's like that. That series gave everything that it deserved. It had the highs, the lows, the unbelievable moments, unbelievable shots, individual play. It just, you couldn't script it any better. It just was a shame that somebody had to lose.
It absolutely was. So you've got the team that was the form team coming into that final series in Tassie, and we all sort of thought heading into the postseason, you know, they might lurk as the danger, and people in Perth weren't overly happy with that particular prediction from some of us. It turned out to be exactly true, but they get through to a grand final series and they lose the first game by 23 on Melbourne's home floor. They get absolutely whacked in the second quarter and you think, oh, Melbourne have just been waiting and maybe it's their time. Then they go to Tassie and they win game 2 by 5. They then win game 3 in Melbourne with the Jack McVay buzzer beater by 2. They have a chance to close it out on their home floor in game 4. They lose by 2 and the final game is decided by 2 as well. So a 23-point result in game 1, single digits the way through after that, last gasp, last play, deciding games for the final 3. I'll start with you, Pete. Was it the greatest series we've seen?
I think it is. And again, I'm trying to weigh it all up and thinking about it since they won on Sunday. And the more I kept thinking about it, in 2018 when we won the title, everyone said that was the greatest championship series ever. And then last year, everybody said that was the greatest championship series. So if we're going based on those thoughts, then this one definitely takes the cake because of everything that you just mentioned. And it came down to the last shot. Jack McVay could have been the hero in the same spot, the same shot, back-to-back games. But again, to the point of the story and why it was the greatest. For Tasmania, I've been thinking about going back and watching game 4. The way they choked, and they did. They choked game 4 with 3.5 minutes to go. They had that game in the balance. Hobart had shut down. There was watch parties everywhere and they fumbled it. Any other team in really any other sport would have then gone to a game five and probably laid an egg because it is so hard to build yourself back up after fumbling like that. This team is just so mentally tough and resilient that somehow they put it all behind them and went into enemy territory after just really falling apart for 3 minutes and nearly costing a championship and just stood up when it mattered most and got the job done. And for that reason, I can't look past it any other thing else than saying that it is the best series we've ever seen.
Damon?
I'm going to disagree with you, Pete, for the 250th time. And I don't recall anybody saying the 2018 title championship was the greatest. Although I will say the 2001 championship was definitely not the greatest. But for you to say that the Jack Jumpers choked, now that's harsh, man. That's harsh. How can you call these dudes chokers, man? Look, both teams blew games. Yes, both teams made some very bad mistakes. But to call them a choker, I think that's a little harsh. But you're right. They did have a chance to close out. And that's just the heavyweights of these both of these teams have. They got guys who do not have any quit in them. Every guy in the Melbourne United team, every guy in the Tasmania Jack Jumpers team, 20-plus guys got unbelievable heart. And they don't let any one play define them. They don't let any one mistake define them. And that's what I really enjoyed seeing because, again, it's human nature. We think, oh, there's no way they're going to be able to bounce back from that. And what do? Bounce back. And both teams kept trading blows, bouncing back. They gave us a clinic in resilience and perseverance. And if this game would have went a best of nine, we'd still be going backwards and forwards. It was just going to be decided by a bucket or two. So for mine, absolutely the greatest championship series in the short time that I've been here in this great country. But yeah, what a thrill. It's going to be hard luck topping that one.
Yeah, I feel like we would have gone an overtime game in there if it went to best of nine or who knows. It just would have, they would have traded blows the whole way. Of course, the defining shot in the series, the defining play in the series of the season of God knows how long was Jack McVay's half-court game winner. Damon, is that the greatest shot in NBL history?
I can't say no. It absolutely is. Like, the stakes couldn't have been any higher. If they lose that game, for all intents and purposes, series over. I mean, it's just, I felt like, but then again, we felt like that throughout the series that it was over, but nobody could close out. But for Jack to come down court, for Milton Doyle to save the ball inbounds, I mean, we've talked about this already. You guys have talked about it already, but you can't talk about it enough. Milton Doyle could have let the ball go out of bounds, but he said, I'm not going to trust the referees to make a good call. So he gets it to Jack McVay, and he was never passing it. He was never going to try to get all the way to the basket. This dude, he said multiple times how his childhood, he's dreamt of that moment, the 5-4-3-2-1 buzzer beater for the championship in his backyard. This dude has lived out his basketball dream. Like, just incredible. Didn't hit any rim. Nothing but cash. Not a heave shot. A perfect form jump shot. And like I said, because the stakes was so high, we've seen some incredible shots throughout the year. Jack's hit a buzzer beater in Cairns. It's been buzzer beaters thrown out throughout the year, half court shots and the like. But the stakes have never been this high. So for mine, Jack McVay has the shot of the NBL history.
I think you're spot on. I'd hate to agree with you, but I think the NBL overtime lad said it last week too. They had to win it, right? They had to go on and win the championship for it to be in that number one spot. Otherwise, it would have been fighting out for a couple of others. But, I mean, it's just nice to have someone not have to fall over and go to the free throw line to get some big shots made in big games. So it was nice to see that he didn't take anything out of Damon Lowry's book and when Dano Me blew on him and he fell down. But the thing that is, and we're not giving enough credit to Milton Doyle as well, as you said, Damon, for saving it, for the awareness to do that. And again, the more I watch Jack McVay, and it's the baseline angle for me, he's looking at the clock. He had 4 seconds left when he shot that ball. That is more than enough time for even Damon to get from one length of the court to the other. And he slowed down when he got over half court, a right to left, just saying he knew exactly the move he wanted to make. It was never going to be contested because nobody thought he was going to pull up from half court and drained it. Some people are just built for the moments and he took it. And again, he's he's just a special player when you can envision that. He's been saying it for a long time, and I think that'll go down. As we say, it's going to be mighty hard to top that in the future.
I like that there's a little bit of last half school about the way you two are operating today. There's sort of paper balls and just things flying around the classroom. The teacher's struggling to keep things under control because the kids are playing up on the last day of school, which I'm very happy to just sit here and just be a bystander for. I might be like the Tim Zoo fight over the weekend. I'll just score things and we'll go to a judge's decision at the end. Jordan Crawford's closeout game, Pete. I mean, he'd been in abject form in that playoff series, really, really struggling. And then he comes out and does that. I mean, that's got to be one of the more unlikely heroic performances that we've seen in any NBL game, let alone in a grand final, close out game five.
It speaks to the player he is. It speaks to the person that he is. For Uriah, he struggled in the postseason compared to his level that we saw so many times in the regular season. He was well below that. Once the play-in tournament came along, the semi-final series, a lot of the time he was benched for Sean McDonald for them to get over the line. And when Tassie needed him the most, when they were down 10 in the first quarter, they couldn't get the scoreboard ticking over. He just put on a clinic. And again, it would be one of the best individual displays I've seen, especially in a first half. 27 points in game five in a first half. To keep your team afloat on the opposition's home floor is a masterpiece. It won't sit in the upper echelon, because I think you talk about closeout games, big performances. I can't go past Bryce's 45 when he'd been in the league for half a year, 45 in a game three to get it done. But it's just something that's so remarkable and speaks to the caliber of the player he is. But it also speaks to this culture and Tasmania. Scott Roth would have been talking to him after every game, probably in the lead up to game five, saying, "We just need one game for you to break out of it." And he chose to do it in game five and help his team win a chip.
Big day.
El Presidente.
Yep. I was going to say
El Presidente. Hey, the little big man.
He kicked him out halfway through the year.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't. I never lost faith. If I'm not mistaken, the last NBL Now pod I was on, I sent a little message to the little big man. You know who you are. Ever since he stepped foot in the NBL season, NBL 24, when I saw him dropping buckets, I said, that guy is a scorer. Everybody know that's why he's here. He's here to score. Yes, his scoring dipped. That don't mean you can't score. That just means you're off. And we've seen the same thing with Bryce Cotton at the start of the year. He couldn't make a shot neither. Nobody was saying that Bryce Cotton couldn't play. Jordan Crawford being the littlest guy in the league, he stepped up. He never lost faith in who he was. I always said it early in the season, his issues were finding a balance between being that plutonium dude and being in the Jackie way. Shawnee Mack has more Jackie wayisms about him than Jordan Crawford. Jordan Crawford's like this, just give me the ball. Nobody in the league can guard me. I might need to take about 30 shots high volume, but Scott Roth, it doesn't fly that way. But in that particular game, he turned it on. I was not the least bit surprised. And everybody in Singapore kept saying to me, what do you mean, little big man? I'm going, I'm watching this game. This dude is incredible. Not only did he score from a variety of ways to keep his team in it, he is highly religious, a very proud, devout Christian. On Easter Sunday, you telling me you're surprised? Him and Jesus are tighter than seven beers and a six pack. I knew he saved his best for the resurrection. It was the resurrection of the little big man.
That was the most inarticulate way I've ever seen a point made. And it was beautiful. That was
a great point. That's all that matters. It was a good point. It doesn't matter how we got there.
I'm going to tear my eye, Damon. That was beautiful.
I'm ready to run through a brick wall. Bloody hell, Jordan Crawford. No wonder he's the president of the Little Big Man Society after goes like that. Damon, you're in fine form. We've missed you on these NBL Now episodes. The Tassie story. So I think this is one of the great stories in Australian sport. Full stop. Forget NBL, so we can go broader than this. So three seasons in, the one thing that they've done remarkably, and be it through personalities or be it through the way that this club has been set up, is that they've united the state. So There's been a lot made about the AFL team that's coming into Tassie in the next few years about how it's going to be a team for the state. They've borrowed a lot of their DNA from what the Jack Jumpers did. And the best decision that they made was not to be Hobart and not to be Launceston, but to be for Tasmania. They go home and they take this title for Tasmania. So three seasons in, they get an American coach and they're, you know, this guy doesn't have a connection to the state, but he feels a connection to the state. There's nothing material between the two of them, but he feels like he relates to the people, he relates to the culture. And then they go to the finals in their first season and they get pretty handily done. The next season, they front up again and they run into a very good New Zealand team. And then the following season after that, they ride the wave all the way to the top. In the pantheon of Australian sports stories, this is sort of, I can sort of see a 30 for 30 or something about this in a few years, Pete, just the evolution of this team over three seasons.
And again, we're all going to have recency bias play a little bit, but it's the most remarkable Australian sports story that I can think of because of everything that you mentioned. Like this Tasmania, they've wanted the pro team for so long and the way they went about it, the building steps. And we forget that first championship series they went to their first year and everyone was calling it a fairy tale. That roster was put together of players that other teams didn't want. Other teams didn't want a couple of these players. Scott Roth said, I want to get the best out of you. Give players a chance to get a second chance to wherever they wanted to go after that. He took a punt on certain players. They missed some big key signings. They wanted to get Nick Kay. They wanted to get Mitch Norton at the time. They missed out on a lot of these key guys, and they put together a squad based on toughness, based on culture of Tasmania as a whole, just to see what they could do. And they made a championship series in their first year, and everyone thought, okay, well, it was fun while it lasted, one-hit wonder. No, they make it again to a semi-final series the second year. And then even this year, halfway through, or at times, people thought they can't possibly do it again, right? And they've done it one better and gone on to be champions. So I'm happy to sit here and say it's the greatest sports story I've seen, especially for some time because of all of that. And we've all been to Tasmania now. It's the one thing I wanted to do. I didn't get to do it the first year, but I wanted to go to Hobart and experience it. I had a Christmas Day game. We had the playing game. We've all been down there. The way they embrace both sides, Tassie embraces the Jack Jumpers and vice versa, it's a thing of beauty. And again, a lot of clubs would like to emulate that kind of culture. And again, I tweeted about it. Scott Roth, this 3 years, the examples he's had about how important culture is, not just a team. That's the one thing we overlook. It's not just about the 10 players or 11 players or the coaching staff. It's about a culture of a club, and that club is the entire state of Tasmania. The way they've all got on board together, or what it meant to be a Tasmanian, put that jersey on, speaks volumes to the people who were there to create it from the start, and that's why we're here now talking so highly of them.
Pretty incredible stuff, isn't it, Damon?
I straight away think of Rocky. This is a movie. I've seen this movie. It was Sylvester Stallone playing as boxer who went up against these giants, and nobody took him serious because he was just this old regular old dude working in a meatpacking plant in downtown Philadelphia. And he ends up fighting for the championship and loses, but has the respect of the people. And you can't help but be a fan and be inspired by the Rockies of the world. The Jack Jumpers are the Rockies of the NBL. He took what nobody else wanted. He took a job that nobody else probably wanted in the smallest market you can get. And he bought into the people. He bought into the state. This is bigger than basketball. Like, it's, you know, this is some little bit of hyperbole, but you know what I'm saying? For the entire state to go and take your team to go to work and go and peel apples and go all up and down the coast of Tasmania, learning what it's like to actually be a Tasmanian, what you're going to be wearing across your jersey or your chest. And for them dudes to then buy into it, they could have said, nah, I just want to hoop. I don't want to do all this extra stuff. But no, if you're going to be on the Scott Roth coach team, you are going to buy into something that's bigger than yourself, something bigger than basketball. And you got them to do it. And I didn't think a couple of those guys in that team, I didn't think they was built like that. They hadn't showed me they were previously. But this is how great his leadership is, and credit to those guys, like I say, for following him. So what he's done for the state of Tasmania, his name's going to ring out forever. No matter what he does in his future, he ends up living back in America or end up one day the premier of Tasmania. It doesn't matter. The legacy is set. Everybody's got to follow that footpath. And good luck to the AFL football team because you had a big act to follow. You can't come in there with any shenanigans.
No, that will not be tolerated by that particular sporting public. I'm going to fire one at each of you now. Damon, what's behind the inbounding epidemic? This is some of the worst inbounding we've ever seen.
Oh, look, that's now you talk about absolute brain fade, and you look at both of those passes. I looked at the one that Deli threw and thought too much heat on that pass. Like, you know who was actually open? Whoever Jordan Crawford is guarding, just stand there and put your arm straight up. That's all you had to do. They tried to get cute. They wanted to get the ball to Chris Golden because he their best free throw shooter. But just go to the size advantage. They didn't do that. Shawnee Mack, I don't know what was going through Shawnee Mack's mind when he threw that pass. Yeah, just baffling how the play could be so high level, but something as simple as inbounding the ball could be so difficult. But then again, that's what makes for the good stories.
That's what happens in championship series. And again, it's fitting that the tagline of the season was every moment matters, because in a championship series, every single moment does matter. And something as simple as getting the ball in bounds can win or lose you a game. And you said both, Damon. There was three. There was the game three, the turnover, and then game four. That inbounds, and JLA gets a piece of it, and Ian Clark then goes to the free throw line, misses one that gives them a chance to have it again. And then in game five as well, it nearly cost them as well. There's just so many ways that it goes about, but it is exactly what we say. It's, besides game one, there was a blowout. There's this little possession here or there. You look back and thinking, okay, well, I just missed a layup. If I hit that layup, then all of a sudden we're up by one and not in this situation. Getting the ball in bounds, we're all geniuses in hindsight, but I think Damon kind of hit the nail on the head. Everybody used to throw it up to whoever Damon was guarding. It's not that hard. It's find the 4'5" Damon Lowry and throw it to his opposition.
Just a post up at midcourt. That'll do. Yeah. Pete, is the photo, and NBL Raw put this on Instagram, and the Jackies and in the NBL were tagged. It's rather innocuously placed. It's the third photo into an Instagram carousel, and it depicts a shirtless Scott Roth holding what appears to be a small mallet with his hat on sideways in business pants, but again, no shirt on, surrounded by his team celebrating with their arms in the air. Is that the greatest NBL-related photo of all time?
I mean, again, I'm recently biased. The greatest photo I've ever seen. That is, because if you know Scott Roth, and again, everything we just spoke about, the passion and what it means, and the way he loves every single one of these players and the people of Tasmania, you could just imagine the emotion that is coming out of him in that moment. It is a thing of beauty. If I don't have that picture on a t-shirt to start NBL 25, I'll be really flat. So that's a challenge that I need to go wherever the blitz is. I need to walk in with that on a t-shirt, and I'll be a happy man as we start next season.
Yep, I'll order one.
Yep, get it done.
The marketing genius, they can put slogans on t-shirts in Tassie. They got photos to put up. I remember when J.R. Smith went shirtless during the Cleveland Cavaliers when Deli was on that team and they finally brought home the championship. And all you saw all summer was a shirtless JR. I want to see Scott Roth double down. I want to see you shirtless in various places, the library, the post office, the pub. Just give us three or four more, Scott.
Yep. Just going about his normal life. And I want to see him holding the mallet. I would love to know what the mallet's about. Just in there with a mallet. You know, why not? Part of the championship celebration.
Culture meeting behind that, yep. No doubt.
Yeah, it's a story for it's a great story for some time. Before we get to a little thing I want to throw at you as well, is it the best NBL season ever? I mean, how often do we talk about it on a Tuesday morning, Damon? And we were saying, you know, this NBL season's off its head. It's unpredictable. There's all these storylines: the Hawks, the Wildcats, and their start. New Zealand racing back through the standings, Adelaide, the Jack Jumpers, Melbourne United's dominance, the Kings, and God knows what was happening there. But this was a story rich in storylines that remarkably got better the longer it went.
It did, without a shadow of a doubt, man. This NBL 24 season, like we said from the start, has just been one wild movie, just crazy. We've had coaches losing their jobs. We had Southeast Melbourne Phoenix couldn't even put a roster together half the time. we just saw injuries to absolute key guys. It just, you thought their season was going to be over with, but they somehow rally. You know, the New Zealand Breakers was, like, every single team could have had its own season in a Larry David sitcom. There was just that many storylines. So NBL 24, the pressure is on NBL 25. I don't know what's going to happen. It's going to somehow reach this level. I'm sure they'll think of something.
And that's the thing you got to think about is to get to this point where we're having the conversation of the greatest season of all time. You need to have the lows. You need to have those parts of stories. Not everything can be roses. Not everything can be a great moment, an emotional everything. You need to have those things like with the Illawarra Hawks struggling, making a move, and then going on this run with Justin Tatum and an unbelievable run. You need to have the Breakers still figuring out a way to get to a play-in tournament with all their superstars missing time. All of these stories, you need to have the negatives, the down side of it to be able to really enjoy and thrive in the positives. And I think that's exactly what we did week on week on week in the NBL 24 season. Now, again, I'm happy to sit here and say it was, and it just sets the challenge right, Damon, for next year and beyond, because if we know one thing, NBL will rise and lift the bar next season. However it is, whatever the craziness is, they'll go to another level once again, because that's just what we do.
Seems to be the way that that things have operated. You know, sort of report card stuff, last day of school. You two have been involved in predictions before the start of the season. Damon's were way too early, and then we revisited them throughout the course of the year. I want, Damon, I want the prediction you're willing to take a victory lap on. What's the prediction you're most pleased with?
I'm most pleased with the NBL round table that I did with Derek Rucker, where I said the Tasmania Jack Jumpers will win the championship series because I feel it's just their time. I feel they was battle hardened, and sometimes you just need that little bit of extra intangible that you can't quite put your finger on to get over the line, which is exactly what we saw happen. And we'll get our super producer, Dr. Dre, old Rowan, to maybe trot that footage out where Derek Rucker said there was a bold and, what was his words? A preposterous prediction that Derek Rucker said. And now he's got to eat those words. So, yeah, I'm going to take a victory lap on that one. Also, when I said that Jack McVay was the Liam Neeson and would win MVP, that he will find you, Peter Hooley, and he will score on you with his particular set of skills. And that's just what he did. So I got two victory laps.
You are so old at times, it's hard to have conversations with you. I'm happy to give you your flowers again, but to go on there and do that, it's as someone, you understand what it takes culturally to win a championship. You pick the best culture and the toughest team to do something that a lot of teams that could like that can get it done. So I wouldn't say it was a bold pick. I think it was a smart pick. Mine, I said way back at the start of the season, probably 3 weeks before we went to the Blitz, that my surprise packer once rosters were done was going to be the Illawarra Hawks. Now, having said that, I did think that they wouldn't go through a slump to start with, but it also makes my prediction even more handily. Handily, that's not a word. That's Damon's getting in my head with his inarticulate storytelling. It even more impressive because they turned it all around under Justin Tatum, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what they do in the offseason now that he can build something special. So I'll take, I don't know, Damon will like that I jumped on the Hawkeyes. I did say they would be the surprise packet of many people's seasons, and if we don't take into account the championship series, I think they were.
You don't get a full victory lap for that. You get maybe 100 meters in one of your little slow trots. That's the best you can get for a team that didn't win the whole thing. And what did you do? You predicted they would do good.
I got asked who would be the surprise, and I answered that question. One thing you cannot do, answer a question straight.
That's all you got to do is just answer the question. Now, if you're going to take a victory lap, I'm going to throw a couple of L's at you. That's the other side to this. So I'm looking at your awards watch from right back at the start of the season, Pete, and I'm going through there, and there's a Jordan Usher gets a mention in the best defensive player award.
Okay. Now, we're starting there.
I think you were the only person apart from him that was convinced he could win that.
If we're starting there, I watched a little bit of his stuff prior, and he came out and said that he was going to gun for it. And again, I said, okay, I'm going to put you in there if you want
to. And then we went to Perth.
And then we're in Perth, and he had 35, and he decided, I'm going to be an offensive threat. Yep, I'll lay on that one.
And Mahmoud Abdel Fattah is an outstanding replacement for Chase Buford at the Kings. And as hard as it is to win a three-peat, Sydney is one step closer in doing so simply by how good of a hire this is. I'll leave that hanging there.
No,
that's okay.
We can get into a whole nother area. I still agree with that. I think he is a fantastic coach. I think the makeup of the team around that, I'm not going to say a bad word about him as a coach and a human being because I thought he was fantastic and I just think the situation didn't quite fit him. But I think he's going to have a big career after that.
I like it. It's not the best one, though, because Damon said that Jacob Jacomas would win Coach of the Year. In the way too early predictions, Damon Lowry has Jacob Jacomas for Coach of the Year.
Wow.
Well, yeah. Technically, it's a void, isn't it?
I don't know. Is it a DNF?
It's a late
retirement from the race due to mechanical failure on lap 4. A bit like Max Verstappen at the Australian Grand Prix a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I was see, this is the thing with those way too earlys. They it's too early for the way too earlys. Like I had the Hawks winning the championship in the preseason. I saw the roster that Jacob and Matt Campbell put together, and I thought, well, if they win the championship, they must have mean they had a great season, which means he had to be probably coach of the year. So I'll take the L for that one.
Very easy for me.
Who would have thought that a way too early prediction was too early? I mean, unbelievable, right? That is just that is incredible stuff.
Possibly way too early, Pete. I'm not sure. Could be wrong. easy for me to sit here and throw that at you. I didn't make any predictions, and I'm sure I would have got them wrong, even if I did. So all in good fun. Gentlemen, we've gone long, but we had to. We had to do it justice. We had to sum it up. It's been a remarkable series. It's been great fun working with both of you throughout it all. Damon, every Tuesday morning with you, digging into all kinds of business, and Pete calling games with you. And, of course, you've been with Jack throughout the course of the regular season here on NBL Now. So thank you both. You can go off, Damon. You can keep trying to qualify for the Olympics. And, Pete, you can keep wrangling your beautiful little girl and just continue basking in the glory that was this NBL season. But Halls and Damon, thanks for chopping it up and giving us a little bit of insight into your thoughts on how that grand final series unfolded.
It's been one of the highlights. Looking forward to every one of them. The Tuesday mornings with you, JP, and listening to everybody else, Liam, Halls, Rucker, everybody else who jumped on throughout the year. Just NBL is in the best spot it's ever been in, and it's because of platforms like this. Big shout out to Jack Heverin. So it's just been awesome. Glad to be a part of it, and I'm looking forward to next season.
Well said, mate. Yeah, it's a pleasure. Love doing it. Big shout out to Rowan as well. Has to deal with all of our scheduling conflicts and then get it done and somehow make Damon on his Nokia 3315 come across really so eloquently. So that's only done through Rowan and his geniusness as the producer.
Yep, absolutely. Well said. Of course, Jack Heverin, the main man, Derek Rucker on Wednesdays, Pete's in on Thursdays, my men Damon and Liam, me annoying him with the weekend headlines every week, and Damon having to come up with weekend winners and filling in ridiculous little segment ideas that I come up with. We've had special guests, everyone from Jack Revolt to Damian Martin, the great man from over in the West. All the team at NBL Media, as you said, Pete, our peerless producer, Rowan Brown, who puts up with all kinds of nonsense in terms of scheduling and bizarre recording times and all keeping us all on track. And really thanks mostly to everyone out there for listening to us throughout the course of the season, whether it be once a week to get you primed for the weekend ahead or to review everything, or you've been with us for every episode of the season. You know, you're a big part of the reason that this league continues to grow and get bigger and better. So thank you very much for that. NBL Now will be back basically whenever big news breaks. We're 2 weeks away from free agency. When the big stories drop, NBL Now will be in your feed. The marketplace will be here as well. Pete will be part of that. Olga Newlick, the best newsbreaker in the business. Jack Heverin to run you through all the stuff that happens in the off-season as well. So we'll never be far away as this NBL season. We'll be at NBL 25 and the Blitz before we know it. So thanks for your company throughout the course of the year. Until you hear from us next, stay safe, take care, and defend your islands, people.